Good morning. I'm great. How about you guys?
That's an extended forecast, but one it's nice to give when you can talk about all days in the 50s and all couple of days in a row here in the mid-70s. That's good stuff.
I know, and I do have to get out and get my yard cleaned up.
Well, today or tomorrow are probably the two best days to do that. Now, you guys had a schedule adjustment because of the Thanksgiving break next week. The MCCSC is off the entire week. And the school board meeting was moved back to this Tuesday. Did you have a work session somewhere in there and in the school board?
Right.
You guys have to keep me up to date on all this, so I'm glad we're doing it, got it out of the way so you can enjoy the holiday next week. Tell us what we saw Tuesday night.
Tuesday was a pretty full-packed agenda schedule. And, you know, we started off with the referendum celebration, recognizing so many people who helped with the referendum. Lynn Coyne and Jim Mewling, two of our tri-chairs, were there to talk about the event. Brian O'Neill, who was the campaign manager, was there. We had so many people in leadership positions who we got to recognize. It was just really a great time to celebrate our unbelievable 81% win for that referendum that we're so grateful for, so that we can continue the kinds of things we've been doing in the school corporation.
And we had the bus contracts was one of the big things that came up in that meeting. And we need to explain to the listeners a little bit about what bus contracts means, because if they've been listening to this program over the last year or so, they've heard us talk constantly about a serious need of getting bus drivers. So, Sue, you wanted to mention something about that.
Well, and a portion of our drivers, most of our drivers are hired by the school corporation. And so they're employees of the school corporation. A number of our drivers are contract drivers who own their own buses, and they bid on routes depending on what it is that they think for a specific route is going to cost them. And then they bid, and then we award bids. Since we have been having difficulty getting bus drivers, and it's not just us. It's all over the place. People are having trouble getting bus drivers. We approved an ad to go out for fleet contracts. So if somebody runs a bus company, they can bid on routes for us, and that bus company will then take charge of those routes, and they will hire people to drive those buses. We anticipate, or we've had a promise, that nobody will lose a job. What this will do is just help us fill the spots. And what's frustrating about this, Keith, I know that you know this, but that our school corporation has done a whole lot of things to try to entice people to drive. We've raised the salary. We've changed the times that people can work. We've cut it into half shifts, so if people don't want to work early.
I saw on the Indianapolis News late last week, early this week, that $20 an hour is not getting anybody to drive a bus up there.
I know, and you know, and even though we split the shifts so somebody can drive just in the morning or just in the afternoon, that still hasn't worked. And I'm not sure what the issue is. I can tell you just from myself, I wouldn't want to drive a school bus. And it has nothing to do with kids on the bus or anything else. It's just driving a big bus. So I think it's a real niche where we have to find the people who are comfortable doing that and who want to do that. And it's such an important position on our school corporation. You know, we always say it's the first person kids see in the morning and the last person the kids see in the evening when they get dropped off. So it's a critical role for us. And if somebody has a better idea, we'd love to hear it.
Well, and it's hard to argue with, because it's not something that's just happening in this school district. It's a commonality in other places. But at least you have the advertisement or the
now we're going to put an advertisement out to see if fleets want to participate. And by the way, you could our contract drivers.
Yeah.
Some of them could apply for that too.
Sure.
So
still the same rules, still everything
right.
else. It's just they have people that do this professionally. And
we have people that work in our garage that are out driving buses, because when somebody calls in sick or you've got a substitute driver needed, those kinds of things, or they're taking a bus up to Indianapolis for a field trip. You know, you need the drivers.
You do. So. That's what it is, and you got to get the kids to school. Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSC school board and checking with us Thursday mornings to talk local education issues and the big one we're talking about.
The big story was ISTEP. And Sue, we talked about it on this program constantly, and that is that lo and behold, would you believe that it waited until after the election to announce the ISTEP results? And I want to read one part of this because this is what Glenda Ritz said in the releasing of the numbers that have been embargoed until this morning, first time we can talk about it. Transitions are never easy, she said, but I want to applaud the students, educators, and families across the state who have worked tirelessly to shift to a more rigorous college and career-ready standard over the past 2 years. Today's results reflect Indiana's focus on student progress toward more rigorous benchmarks for college and career readiness. However, it is important to remember that our students, schools, and teachers are more than just a test grade.
Yep, it's all the above.
Now, they've worked on all of this, and the results statewide are at least 30% lower on average, we're going to find out over the next few days exactly what those numbers mean. Yesterday, a vast majority of the superintendents of schools across the state appealed to the DOE not to apply these numbers to school grades. They did the same thing last year, and the state said, okay, we're not going to apply it to the school grade, but we're still waiting to see where this all goes now.
Well, and you know, for years I have argued that we shouldn't be grading schools based on ISTEP scores. You know, when one school gets to say they're an A, or a few schools say they're an A, what does it say about the rest of our schools? And we know that all of our schools are successful in different kinds of ways. So I agree with Glenda. Our kids are more than a test score, and the test score should not be attached to grading schools, since it has already been recognized that there were so many irregularities with this test that we're not even sure that the results can really tell us anything or how valid they are.
Sue, they took the test last March. And we are just today getting the numbers.
And if they're going to throw them out, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well,
it's a waste of time for everybody. That's basically what it boils down to.
To make it even more intriguing is they put a special commission together of quote-unquote education leaders to come up with the son of ISTEP, so to speak. They've been meeting monthly. It's a huge group of people. And they announced a couple of days ago that they would make some recommendations. Yesterday they announced that, well, maybe they're not going to make any recommendations, that maybe this will keep going for a while. And the legislature, you know, that appointed them may not get any results from this commission.
Well, and I do wonder if part of it, if they're waiting for a new administration coming in and they're going to start it all over again. But, Keith, as you mentioned, these tests were taken last spring. I think the Indy Star said some of these test scores are 260 days old. So if the ISTEP is really being administered to give teachers and parents information about a student's progress and what they need to learn, I think they're kind of stale right now. It doesn't tell us anything. We've gone through a whole semester where we haven't had those grades to use. So my question is, what good does it really do? Therefore, I think it's a waste of an awful lot of money, and not to mention the resources in our schools spent preparing for tests when we could be doing a lot more teaching and learning.
Well, and the other thing that I'm intrigued by is, I'll just give you one statement here. In English and language arts, 66.1% of the students in grades 3 through 8 passed the test, down from 67.3% last year. Well, okay, how many is that? What's that number? And that percent from 66.1 to 67.3, how many students does that represent? We don't know those numbers. So,
you're close enough. 60. It's a third didn't. I don't care how you cut it. A third of the kids didn't pass. That's what it boils down to. Whether it's 80, 20, 40, 60, I mean, that's just that's a tough number there. But the ISTEP placement replacement panel, today's HT page A2, says they're divided over offering a specific plan. Well, if they can't get the plan together, how can they possibly put a test together? How can they do anything if they can't? What time's our meeting for our next meeting to have a meeting to get our plan together?
Well, they've got 10 days. They're supposed to do it by December. Right.
And that's the really frustrating thing about it. I don't know. I really don't know what it is they're discussing. I don't know how they're discussing it. I don't know what kind of information they're using. I don't know why they can't come to a decision. But again, unless the new governor and new superintendent of public instruction want to start this all over again when they take office in January.
And their final meetings on November 29th, according to my math, is not too long from now. I bet a lot of work gets done over the Thanksgiving week.
Oh, yes.
Grinding on this and doing it. But again, very... very interesting point. The Republican-dominated legislature voted this year to mandate that the ISTEP test be replaced for the 2017-18 school year, but lawmakers have said that deadline will likely be pushed back because of the difficulty of having new exams ready in time. Committee Chairwoman Nicole Fama, a principal in the Indianapolis Public Schools District, told members on Tuesday she would work with their suggestions and draft a proposal ahead of the final meeting on November 29th. So here we are, 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. Our recommendations are going to be very broad, Fama said. From what I understand, this is just the first step of the process. Committee member Wendy Robinson, superintendent of the Fort Wayne Community Schools, said she wanted to know the cost of the proposals and the other details, adding, generalities are not enough. So... you've got a very broad generality plan that's going to be put together, and some educators are saying, well, that's not going to help us too much at all.
But it's never stopped the legislature from meddling into educational issues, so there you go.
Scott Croner, a committee member and Blackford County School Superintendent, said he believed the panel should give clear direction. I've had conversations with my local legislators. They want specifics. They want a detailed plan, which makes sense because mm-hmm. you don't want the legislators putting the plan
exactly.
together, Sue. That's the easiest part here to figure out, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Yes, and it's frustrating all around. I don't think this is how the committee should have been constituted. I know that there's a lot of educators on there, but I think what we needed are educational researchers. We need testing experts.
I don't disagree with any of that, but the three examples I just gave you of superintendents on this board, that they have three different ideas of how it should be put together. So that's not the legislator interfering with anything.
Well, no, but they were appointed by legislators. So I'm not really sure what the answer is. I know that it's very frustrating for the state. I was hoping that the superintendent of public instruction might have more input. More influence on this, but obviously we know the problems that have happened there, so that didn't happen.
So let me make a prediction. It's too late to do anything about ISTEP for next year, so it'll be the same test again next year. There we go.
Or no test at all.
Oh, yeah. No, that'll never happen.
Well, a lot of people said Donald Trump will never be president.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Hang on to that. All right, good job, guys. Enjoy your Thanksgiving weekend. Your next boy school board meeting, this is forever. Mm-hmm. It's not till December what? 20th? December? It's
early then, too, yeah, because of Christmas.
Way down the road there.
Yeah.
So we're just getting through. Get everybody to the holidays. Everybody enjoy their time off next week. MCCSC, remember, not in school all of next week. We'll remind folks about that a little bit later in the week.
Class, can I just mention one thing?
Please.
Reading, writing, and bidding from our school foundation is November 23rd to December 7th. So log on there. There's a lot of cool things to bid on, and the proceeds, all this stuff was donated, and then the proceeds go to the foundation so that we have more money for our classroom.
Excellent. And put that on your reminder sheet for a week from Thursday, because we won't be here on the Thanksgiving. So December 1st, we'll talk about that as well, too. And all those items that are on there, all that money stays. Is that in the foundation? Is that who handles
yes.
all that?
Yes.
Yes.
Good stuff as always, Sue. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okie dokie. Have a nice Thanksgiving, you guys.
You as well. Sue Wanzer, Keith Klein, both serve on the MCCSC school board, and join us every Thursday, except when we're eating turkey, to discuss those. This ISTEP thing, Keith, it's all who's suffering here? The educators. The kids, because I heard on one of our Network Indiana spots yesterday when I'm listening to our program, they interview somebody and they say, hey, look, we don't know what curriculum to get together.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't teach to the test, but you are teaching to the test because the test matters. So you have all these moving parts here, and Who's winning? Nobody's winning.
Well, worse than that is nobody's you winning. Have no results in order to adjust what you've been doing. You know, you get them. You're just now getting numbers. How do you adjust a curriculum now?
Reform's a tough word. Reform's a hard thing to do. I don't know if this is the right way moving forward, but again, somebody's going to have to figure this out down the road. And how do you distribute this money? How do you reward teachers? How do you do all this stuff? If it's based on testing, well, you better get your testing figured out.